Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
There is no better group of plants for flower power than forms of the shrubby potentilla.
Hello and welcome to This Week in the Garden. I'm Peter Seabrook, here to answer some of your gardening queries. Later, I'll be joined by Noam Morris from one of the best UK gardening blogs out there, the Dahlia Papers. This week, we'll be whetting your appetite with some kale, sweet peas, and Chaz and Dave's Brussels sprouts. Our thanks too to Mr. Fothergill Seeds, our sponsor for this week. I always find it interesting when I'm watching programmes on the television and listening to those that are broadcast on all kinds of subjects. For example, on the Countryside programme on the Sunday evenings recently, they were walking through trials with a new variety of ornamental kale. There's one with pink and white leaves and another one with green and white. The seed's going to be offered, I think, this year as a variety called Duo Mix. Now, we've had ornamental cabbages and ornamental kales for years, but the breeders have been really working on them and they've improved the flavour. So we now have ornamental kales that we can use in containers to decorate and eat them at the same time. Sometimes I get a bit questioning. There was a listener asking about sweet peas recently, and I just wondered whether the panellists had actually grown sweet peas. My sweet peas I like to get sown in October and outside in the ground as soon as possible. Because if you notice, when you grow sweet peas in pots, they'll have quite a strong root that goes round and round the base of the pot. Now, if you sow it straight in the open ground in the autumn, those roots go straight down. And then when the weather gets a bit hot and dry in May and June, the sweet peas have got that tremendous depth of root to pull back moisture. At this time of the year, if they're getting a bit tall and straggly, you need to pinch the tops out. They're much better if they've grown on from side shoots. And if those side shoots get too tall, you can even pinch them a second time. The interesting thing is that if you leave sweet peas to grow on that first original shoot straight up, quite often they will go blind when they get to about 4 or 5 feet. Presumably that's nature's way of making sure that they do become basal branched and have far more stems to carry flowers and seeds. One job that I have been doing undercover when the weather was reasonably mild is to transplant lettuce seedlings. I always like to grow some winter gem lettuce. It's a fairly new variety. It's like little gem but much hardier. And if you followed our earlier advice and sowed seeds in October, then you'll have some nice little seedlings that can go out under a cold frame or a cold greenhouse. Doesn't need any heat, but does need a bit of protection. And I shall probably plant mine in amongst some autumn onion sets, because the lettuce will be cut and eaten before the onions need all their space. I'm joined on the phone now by a garden designer and writer. Her blog, The Dahlia Papers, was nominated for Blog of the Year at the Garden Media Guild Awards this year. It's Noam Morris. Hello, Noam.
Hi, Peter. Hi.
What a day that was, eh, at the Savoy?
No, it was a great. It felt very strange to see your gardening friends actually sort of wearing, you know, suits and smart dresses and things, you know, when normally you're seeing them looking a bit rougher. But
you can say that again. Yeah. Now, can you tell me a bit about the blog? You know, I'm completely new to this field. So
yeah.
How did you get started?
I got started. I actually went on a 2-day course for bloggers, which was very helpful. And I think once you also invested a bit of money, it just meant that I was determined to get going. And I wanted to have a way of writing something that was very personal, really. So I have a lot of freedom in my blog. I write for magazines about gardens, but I have to stick very closely to a sort of script, really. And this way I can, if I want to talk about a recipe or a book I've read or an art exhibition, but linking it in. So I wrote about Edmund Duval, who is now a very well-known potter and writer, who had started working with porcelain, and he'd just written a book about called The White Road, which is about working with porcelain, and I wrote about the white garden at Sissinghurst in the same piece.
Yes.
And I got going because I wanted to sort of show people, you know, what's going on in my head.
But your background is more in sort of art history and film, isn't it?
It was. I did a degree in art history, and then I worked in the film industry. But I think I've always thought that being, I've always wanted to work in visual things, and certainly for my garden design work, actually kind of producing something and sticking to a budget and keeping a, you know, having an idea and then delivering it as a real thing at the end. That seems to work. In fact, my partner also, who I met, we met when we were studying. We did diplomas in horticulture and plantsmanship, and we met when we were studying. But we had both, in fact, worked unbeknownst to each other in television before, and that seems to work quite well.
Well, I can say snap with that, you know.
Yes, exactly.
I met my wife at college studying horticulture.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. But I'm very interested too about the recent blog on cymbidiums.
Yes.
And McBeans. My connection with McBeans goes back a long
way. Oh, really?
A fellow called Ray Bilton, who I think his father was a coal miner in Durham.
Right.
Was down with McBeans. Well, now I'm talking the 70s, I suppose.
Yes.
Building big displays at Chelsea and the RHS halls.
Well, what was very interesting, I went to McBeans, so it's a, you know, incredibly sort of old and as you say, venerable nursery. I think they've won over 80 gold medals at Chelsea. I think they've missed a couple of since the Chelsea Flower Show started in its current place in 1913. They missed a couple sort of in between the wars, but they've just always been there. And they've got new owners. So this very feisty young woman called Rose Armstrong was a sort of regular customer and has got another business, which is a petrol station, and she's quite an unlikely petrol station owner. And anyway, she went on a Saturday morning to buy some orchids as a present and realized that the company was going to be sold, and there was no buyer, and she just, you know, almost burst into tears and wanted to save it. So she is incredibly passionate about it. I think the head nurseryman is called Jim Durrant and has been there for 40 years.
Yeah.
So she said that, you know, that you've got the expertise, you've got this amazing name, they've got this incredible stock that they're breeding from, and she's going to do whatever she can to, you know, make us all have McBeans orchids in our houses.
Yeah, I mean, thank goodness we have these people who are absolutely passionate about specific plants. It's unbelievable what they do.
It was an absolute revelation to me that there is this category of orchids, cymbidium, which really can survive in a modern house if you just, you know, water it with rainwater and give it a bit of food and don't put it in, you know, just put it in a brightish place. And
they're just plants. They need, you know, tender, loving care.
Tender, loving care, but it's not so fragile that you can't, you know, anybody could take one on. And what Rose's great line was, it's the ultimate sustainable plant or sustainable present, because you just put it out in the back of the garden under an apple tree, is her recommendation for the summer.
And that's right,
then bring it back in and it will go again.
They're quite good around pools too, you know, because a bit of humidity in the summer doesn't do them any harm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But she has one, I think, called Big Tracy, is that right?
There's Big Tracy, which, I can't remember, you're going to get me how many flowers it had last year, sort of 690 or something like that.
So do you think that's unbelievable? Yes.
It's on a sort of huge, like an large family size outdoor dining table, and it just fulfills that completely.
And when you go into these houses on a nice sunny morning when the cymbidias are in flower, they do have this really remarkable fragrance, don't they?
The fragrance was just amazing, actually. The moment you step into the nursery and you can't quite put your finger on it, and it sort of clothes. Is it vanilla? Is it just absolute very seductive fragrance.
And if they're cut, they last for ages, don't they, in water?
Well, they do, again, you know, weeks and weeks. And I hadn't really, because you know how you have these areas that you know about and the areas that you don't know about, so you feel very ignorant. But when Rose Armstrong was explaining to me that McBean's orchids were used in Princess Diana's wedding bouquet, for example, and that would have been something that would have been the most enduring flower to use for something like a wedding bouquet. I hadn't really realised that you would cut it from a houseplant, really.
I rather gather that all you wanted for Christmas was a cymbidium. Did you get one?
Well, of course, I bought three for myself. This is not a nursery that you can visit without, you know, coming away empty-handed. You think, just one, and then, you know, just two. But,
well,
you know.
Well, I had just one from McBean's a long time ago,
yeah.
And I regret to admit that all I've got now is the ceramic cover that it was in. But it was a lovely plant, and we had it for several years.
Yeah. You know. Well, there you go. That's my real challenge now, isn't it, to keep it going. So, you know, dispel all those myths that you can't keep orchids going, but no, I'm going to do it.
And what are your hopes for your garden in 2017?
I would like to plant some more trees. I have just planted, in fact, some trees, and that was my big recommendation, really, to everyone, is even if you've got quite a small garden, to think of planting a tree that is, again, something that will be incredibly long-lasting and will not need to take up too much space. And so I have just planted a group of three of my favourite crab apple, which is the Malus transitoria. So it's a small tree with clouds of white blossom in May and then tiny yellow pearl-like fruit, which are long-lasting, quite sort of elegant spreading branches.
Well, what a perfect message that we both should send out. Hey, plant more trees.
Plant more trees, yeah. Definitely.
Non, thank you very much indeed. Great to speak to you.
Great to speak to you. Thank you.
Just before Christmas, I was very lucky. I had an invitation from Chaz, of Chaz and Dave, to visit Chaz's allotment near Stevenage. You know, we see these people and hear them performing. I don't really think of what they do in their free time. And Chaz has been a very enthusiastic allotmenteer for years. He has quite a big plot, had some pretty good Brussels sprouts. I hope to have some pictures in our spread in the TV magazine in The Sun fairly soon. And a goodish row or two of leeks. He'd had some good runner beans. And he said that when his brain gets a bit fuzzy trying to write a song, then he likes to get on his bike and cycle over to the allotment and just spend a few hours on his own there, digging and cultivating. When I called, he's got a greenhouse that he built February 2016 and a nice comfortable seat in there. And he said that the previous day he was in there and his little friendly robin came in and sat pretty nearly on his leg. Have you noticed how robins tend to be so much tamer in the winter? Once they get to nesting and with families, then they become quite nervous. But at this time of year, they are really good friends. I was spending an hour or two in Reading on my daughter's allotment, digging away. And you know, it doesn't take long, just a few minutes turning the soil and you'll see just a swift movement in the corner of your eye. And it'll be the friendly robin there doing its stuff. Now, we do get some interesting letters, and sometimes they sort of go on a bit. I mean, I have this letter here in front of me now, which came from Exeter. Dear Mr. Seabrook, may I just tell you that my wife and I greatly enjoy your gardening columns and find them of most interest. I'm nearly 90 years of age. I started work in 1904, and after the Great War, spent a few years in men's outfitting. I've had a long, full and active life, and my fifth wife, a mere youngster of 78 years of age, I believe. For many years, I was a member of the Kent Cricket Club, and we still managed to attend the county matches at Canterbury and Folkestone. When I visit my children in Kent, I've been a keen gardener for some 65 years, finding all kinds of things of interest to me in the greenhouse, where I grow everything from tomatoes, cucumbers, to vines and orchids with moderate success. During this cold wintry spell, I decided to read a book about Iceland. I understand that they are able to grow a multitude of greenhouse crops using heat from thermal springs. This apparently enables the Icelanders to go in for bananas. This leads me to my question. Yeah, at last I say, it's nearly time we came to the question. This leads me to the question. It is quite a serious question, although it may appear to you slightly ridiculous. I should be glad to hear your thoughts on whether or not I should be able to grow bananas in Devonshire. The climate is certainly more favourable than that of Kent, and I've decided to have a try. Now, don't you think that's fantastic? We got this 90-year-old man and his fifth wife, and all he's worrying about is whether he can grow bananas. You know, there's hope for us all, yeah, isn't there? Our thanks again for this week's sponsor, Mr. Fothergill's Seeds from Newmarket, and thank you for listening. We'll be back next week.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.